you turn your Bibles with me tonight to Exodus chapter 25. Hallelujah. We're going to read Exodus 25, 1 through 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, he shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil and for a sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Let them make me a sanctuary. I want to speak to you tonight. God dwells in your willingness. Lord, we love you and I thank you, God, for your word tonight. I pray that you'll speak to every heart here tonight. Lord God, I pray that you anoint every ear to hear, anoint your servant, and we give you the praise and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Imagine what it must have been like to be an Israelite at that time. In less than 6 months, they have gone from being a slave nation that knew nothing but trouble, knew nothing but hardship, to seeing the miraculous of God on a daily basis. That is what God has done for us. When you read Romans chapter 6, verse 17 through 18, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You see, folks, understand this tonight. We all are servants to something. Amen. When you read in the Word of God, when you hear the word Egypt, you can think of sin. And God delivered Israel out of Egypt. They were slaves to the Pharaohs. And so when you read this Romans 6:17, you can see, but God be thanked that ye were servants of Egypt, of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. In other words, you're here tonight because you want to be. Amen. You're here because you fell in love with your Savior, with your Deliverer. Come on. Hallelujah. The scripture says being made free from Egypt, being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Hallelujah. I believe that it is the will of God that we which have been delivered from the bondage of sin now dwell in the miraculous of God. Hallelujah. For most of the chapter, first 20 chapters of Exodus, we find that God is being a God that works outside of the request. He works outside of faith. He works outside our effort on the part of his people. You see, he sends Moses to them. Amen? They didn't necessarily ask for Moses. They prayed to their God for deliverance. God sends Moses to them. Then God sends the plagues to them. He delivers them from Egypt, parts of the Red Sea. He sweetens the bitter water for them. He leads them by a pillar of fire and by a pillar of cloud. He feeds them the manna in the morning and quail in the evening. And as if that wasn't enough, he gives them water out of a rock that follows them around. And the children of Israel do nothing but follow orders. God says, do this. They do it. They followed orders. Folks, God did all of this despite their grumbling and complaining and their doubt in him. They're giving the pastor a hard time. He did all of that in spite of all of that. But then God leads his people to Mount Sinai. And there it is that God's relationship with his people begins to change. You see, he goes from being the God that does everything for them to the God that begins to lay down the law of expectations. If they are going to continue in God's blessings, they must follow and obey his expectations. But if you notice here, these commands were not given to punish the children of Israel. You see, whenever you hear the Ten Commandments and you hear, you know, or people think that when you go to church, you have to start following the rules. If you notice here, these commands were not given to punish the children of Israel. They were given to protect the children of Israel. You see, it's all in how you look at it. Amen? When you love somebody, folks, it's nothing to do something for them. It's nothing to want to do whatever it takes to please them, is it? Amen? They're not twisting your arm up behind your back and say, tell me you love me. Do this and do that. No, you do it because I want to make them happy. You see, and God takes them to Mount Sinai because, see, God wants a relationship out of his people. Not just him giving them everything they need and taking care of all their wants. God wants a relationship with them. Amen. He wants to lay down the law of expectations. And if they're going to continue in the blessings of God, folks, we have to live in a law of expectations. Then notice the very next thing that God says in Exodus 25, verse 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it begrudgingly. Is that what it says? That giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. In other words, God's saying, look, if you're going to bless me, I want you to do it because you love me. God said, I will only accept what they are willing to give. Where are you at tonight with God? Are you willing to give yourself to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Or are you doing it begrudgingly? Well, I don't want to go to hell, so I guess I better go to church and love God. Come on. And listen, I don't want to go to hell either. But let me tell you something. I've learned to fall in love with Jesus Christ. Amen. I've learned that he's a good God. I learned that he can bless me if I will just honor him and obey him. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, folks. God is looking not for the best that you can offer. And I just blew your theology out of the water, didn't I? He's not looking for the best you can offer, but God is looking for the willingness to give him. That's what God wants out of your life. He doesn't want the best you have. God don't need your best. But God is looking for somebody that says, hey, I'm willing to serve you. I want to do a work for you. God, what is it you want me to do? I love you so much. I want to be a blessing to your kingdom. Hallelujah. You see, after God makes known to his people what he wants, he makes this statement. In Exodus 25, verse 8, and let them make me a sanctuary. I like that. Let them make me a sanctuary. How? Why? That I may dwell among them. Let me tell you something. God has always desired to have relationship with man. He has always desired, amen, to do whatever he can to be a part of his prized creation. His creation that he made in his image. I love to tell people how God intended. You see, because many people don't know. But God, when he made Adam and he made Eve, they were created to live forever. It was their choice. Their decisions, as I talked about this morning, their decisions that changed all of that. You see, the Bible says that God would walk with them in the cool of the day. God has always desired to be amongst us. Now God, you know, when he was in the camp where they were with Israel, he was in the center of all of them, in the middle. Now God dwells inside of us. But God says, it's even going to get better than that, because you're going to dwell with me in heaven. Hey, man, we're going to throw our crowns at his feet. We're going to cry, holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And let them make me a sanctuary. You want the presence of God in your life? Make a sanctuary where he can dwell. God, hallelujah, be a part of me. Lord, I want you in my life. This is what I want us to realize today. God does not dwell in our obedience. He dwells in our willingness. How willing are you to want to be a part of God? It's anybody can obey. Amen? I don't twist my wife's arm behind her back and say, tell me you love me. That don't do anything for me. But when she turns to me and says, honey, I love you, it just melts my heart. I'm serious. That's the woman of my dreams right there. See, God wants that from us. God says, I want you to love me because of who I am, how great I am, how awesome I am. Folks, it's a whole lot different. Amen. When we're just praising him and we can weep before him because we have fallen in love with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he changed us. He took some alcoholics. He took some drug addicts here. Amen. He changed you and he gave you something to be respectable about. Come on. Hallelujah. He doesn't want to dwell in our obedience. He wants to dwell in our willingness. You see, folks, God will visit us in our obedience for a season. But if we want him to dwell in our lives, we must constantly offer him our willingness. Many times, we serve God out of duty and obligation. And it is there, folks, that God will visit us from time to time. But there are two ways to view your walk with God, to view your ministry with God. You can either view it as a cross, or you can view it as an offering. You see, folks, if it's a cross, it'll kill you. Come on. But if you view it as a willing offering, it will bless you, God, and the people that you are trying to help. Now, I've seen people that have seemed to resent those that they minister to. They held them at arm's length, and they really refused to love them. And the result was that they were not as effective for God as they could have been. You say, well, why, Pastor? Let me tell you something. If you want to bless a parent, bless their children. Tonight, if you want to bless God, bless his children. Come on. Are you viewing your walk with God? Are you viewing your ministry as a cross or an offering? God, you've done so much for me. The least I can do is tell somebody else how much you love them. Come on. God, let me love somebody for you. God, you loved me when I was not lovable, but let me love somebody else when they're not lovable. Come on. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what God says about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. You see, we have all heard the scripture, and we used it to preach about financial giving, and that's all right. That is applicable to that. But folks, it is not about finances alone. Amen. God wants to see that you love him so much and you believe this is the way that's going to get us to heaven. And you thank God for all that he has done for you, that I owe a debt. That's a song used to say, I owe a debt that I could not pay. You see, folks, I feel that I'm such a blessed man. And I want to do something great for God. Amen. And I want to love people. Amen. I want to love. See, God changed the lives of people, that their lives are a wreck, that they're messed up. Because you see, God has done so much for me. Hallelujah. That's the least I could do for my God. Amen. It's to allow him to love somebody through me. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, it says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe it is unto me if I preach not the gospel. See, Paul's saying, look, woe unto me if I don't preach. Woe unto me if I don't tell somebody about God's love. Amen. He say, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though if I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. You see, the reason Paul was so successful in ministry is because, folks, he was willing to spend and be spent for the purpose of God's kingdom. Understand something, folks. We can be very selfish sometimes. And think it's, well, what do I get out of this? Your reward is on the other side. Paul was not worried about that. I'm willing to be spent, he says. See, according to the scriptures that we read in Exodus 25, God dwelt in the house built from the materials that people willingly gave. When you read in the New Testament, God dwells where his people give him what he wants and not just what he commands. God dwells in your willingness. God expects our tithing, but he loves to see what we give because we want to be a blessing. God expects our ministry because it is our responsibility, but he wants to see us invest it willingly into his kingdom. What happens when the church gives more than God commands? The book of Acts happens. That's what happens when we give more than what God commands. Can we stand here tonight? In Exodus 35, 21 through 35, and they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation and for all his service and for all the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins and of rams and badger skins brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and the breastplate and the spice and oil of light, oil for the light and for the anointed oil and for the sweet incense. And the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and every woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uriah, the son of Ur, the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. And to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in the cunning stones, to set them in the carving of wood and to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Abelah, the son of Eshemach, the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work. Of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer and the blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and weave, even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. And they came, Exodus 25:21, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred them up and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle and the congregation for all his service. Those of a willing heart. It says it over and over and over throughout the scripture. Let me tell you something, folks. The Spirit gave these people ability to do things for God. Why? Because they had a willing heart. Too often we're all, well, I can't do this and I can't do this. Let me tell you something. Noah was not an ark builder before God got a hold of him. You want to do something for God? Have a willing heart. Have a relationship with a God because you want to, because you desire it, not because it's expected of you. I tell you, God will dwell in his presence of those with a willing heart. You want God's blessings on your life? Have a desire to do something for God.